Guardian Podcasts, sponsored by audible.co.uk. For a free download, be sure to check out guardian.co.uk/free download, where Guardian listeners can choose any audiobook for free. See the page for more details.
Hello, I'm Tim Jones, and this is a very special edition of Music Weekly from The Guardian. I say very special because this week we're reporting live from South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas, which certainly beats recording inside a cramped broom cupboard by King's Cross, especially as they do significantly better mojitos here. On Wednesday, the music part of the festival began, and on the bill this year, we've got everything from hotly tipped US artists like ASAP Rocky, established icons like keynote speaker Bruce Springsteen, and a wave of invading British troubadours such as Ed Sheeran and Michael Kiwanuka. Joining me in a studio that looks suspiciously like some steps outside on the street because everywhere's closed is Rebecca Nicholson from The Guide. Hi, Rebecca, how are you?
I am very well, thank you.
Excellent. Is this how you imagine the the South by Southwest dream to be?
I think we're living the dream, aren't we? It's not entirely how I imagined our South by Southwest experience. We were supposed to have cocktails when we did this. This is why I agreed to do it in the first place.
It's supposed to be a nice relaxed affair in a beer garden.
But we have had pancakes.
Okay, so we have spent the entire day legging it around the festival. Rebecca, have you, you've never been here before, have you? What are your first impressions of South by Southwest?
This is indeed my first year at South by Southwest. I think it's quite overwhelming, actually. I've seen a lot fewer bands than I expected to, and I've walked a lot further than I expected to. It seems much more like a festival, which sounds like a silly thing to say, but I thought it would be like a city festival where you're sort of going from bar to bar and you're seeing things. But actually, it feels more like a festival.
You know, right,
okay. Kind of outside toilets and and things like that.
Where have you been? I've not got that impression at all. There's loads of really nice kind of indoor.
I think I've been in the wrong place. Have I been at South by Southwest?
I don't know where you've been. Because to me, it's got such a kind of friendly, relaxed vibe. You know, there are toilets, everything's clean. You can go to the convention centre, you've got Wi-Fi and all that. It makes it completely different to something like Glastonbury.
No, that's true. I think just it's more the big outside shows that we've seen today that have been like that. But actually, you're right. And it is very friendly and everyone here seems very nice. It's all gone a bit Ibiza uncovered down the main street.
Yeah, Sixth Street, where all the bars are. That used to be the kind of the cool place where, you know, all the kind of the best groups would play. But now it's almost like, I don't know, it's something like spring break, isn't it?
It is, but it's spring break at the moment as well. So it probably is a combination of things.
It's like spring break. Right, well, you were barely even off the plane before you went straight off to do your first interview for this very podcast. Who was it with?
I spoke to the delightful Caroline, who is the singer in Chairlift.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to that.
Hi, this is Caroline from Chairlift, and we're at South by Southwest.
And this is your second time here, is that right?
Yeah, we came here 2 years ago, I guess right after our first album came out. And then last year we didn't come because we were in the studio and we were working on music. And this year we're back. I think it's going to be a lot better this time. Once you know what you're getting yourself into, you can prepare for it a lot better. The first time we came here, we were a little bit shell-shocked by how, like, anarchist everything is.
Yeah, it seems very chaotic here so far. I haven't been here for long, but yeah, how do you deal with that? Can you give me some advice?
Well, I think the changeover is the craziest part about playing South by Southwest, because, you know, not only do soundcheck in front of people, but you only get, like, 20 minutes to do it. And we used to be a three-piece, which made things a lot easier, but now we're... And we used to have backing tracks, too, which made things simpler. But now we're a five-piece, and everything's played live. So it's essential that everything sounds decent. So it's kind of like a, I don't know, like a kamikaze operation.
And how do you find the audience here? Because obviously it's quite industry-heavy. Does that make a difference to how people respond to things?
I think we're in a situation, in a kind of a different situation, since we're on our second album and we're signed and stuff. It's not like there's any A&R feeding frenzies. I mean, we played two shows yesterday and it seemed like all kids who were at the show, and everyone was singing along. It was kind of amazing. Way better than I expected any of our shows would be. So,
do you get to go to things yourself?
A little bit. Last night I went and saw a band called the OCs from San Francisco, and they were awesome.
Named after the TV show? Or?
I have no idea. I hope not. It was really fun. There was people crowd surfing, and I felt like there was more bands there watching them than fans, I guess. But it was really fun.
Yeah. And any kind of cocktail barbecue tips that we should be aware of?
Oh, man. We went to a place yesterday kind of off the strip called Ruby's. I thought it was Rudy's until he showed up, and it was Ruby's. But I'm a vegetarian, and I broke vegetarianism for Ruby's. Yeah.
What did you have?
I had a brisket plate, which was absolutely divine. The meat was kind of like, it's almost blackened on the outside, so you get these different layers of taste. There's like, you know, the crunchy outer core, and then there's the fat, which is almost like the sauce that comes built into the meat, and the inside, which was really sweet and smoky. And oh man, I could tell you about this meal for like 10 minutes.
was it worth breaking the vegetarianism for?
It was. It was actually at a barbecue shack that I broke vegetarianism for like 2 years a while ago, but now I'm back on it.
This place is lethal.
Yeah, it's totally lethal. Mostly to cows.
That was Caroline from Chairlift talking to Rebecca about, well, mainly barbecue. Maybe we should talk about some bands instead. Who have you been to see today?
I have seen ASAP Rocky, which I enjoyed.
It was good. Because he is the kind of the hip-hop artist who's broken through and white people like him, can't help comparing him to Odd Future a bit.
Which I heard about from you.
Yes.
I heard that was last year, far superior.
Well, just because that was such a ridiculous show and there was kind of blood on stage and stage diving off the roof. So, obviously...
I mean, we should say the ASAP Rocky show was an MTV.
Yes.
And it was very clean and corporate and sponsored by a mobile phone
punctual
company.
As well.
Yeah, and punctual. It didn't feel particularly raucous.
But they did try and make it raucous because they were doing kind of stage dives, the ASAP crew, weren't they?
There was jumping
into the crowd.
And they were encouraging the youngsters to smoke weed.
Shocking.
I know. And I could smell some. I'm beans, I get the freshies. Rap Simmons, Rick Owens, usually what I'm dressed in. Blowing blunts, rolling doobies up, smoking section. Groupies rush, holy boobies up in my direction. Quit with all the front and you ain't run my click for nothing. Cause our presence is a present, just to kick it is a blessing.
So who else have you seen? Did you see Best Coast earlier?
I didn't see Best Coast, actually. I'm seeing them tomorrow. I saw The Gossip did the first show where they were doing new songs from their new album. So it was all a bit... It was slightly ramshackle, but they kind of warned us that it would be. And they did a couple of old songs. They did Standing in the Way of Control and Heavy Cross, both of which everyone was dancing on. It was on the top of this multi-story car park. And the floor was wobbling so much, and it was a concrete floor, and I wasn't sure that concrete floors should wobble.
I don't think they're normally designed
to. I'm not sure they're supposed to, but that was brilliant. Beth was being very, very funny. And, she was mostly talking about Honey Boo Boo Child, the YouTube sensation. Have you seen her?
No.
She's off Toddlers and Tiaras.
Oh, right, okay.
I would Google YouTube it.
See, I got up early to watch Ed Sheeran, which...
How
surprised
was that?
Myself.
I'm interested to know how that went down for
American
crowd.
I was thinking, if you're a kind of American, you hear this guy's hotly tipped, you'd just be so confused when he turns up, just because, you know, he's wearing kind of surf shorts and he had one of those black strings with a shark's tooth kind of thing on his neck. And
gap your necklace.
Yeah. And musically, I have to admit, I find him absolutely terrible. But there was something... He was just so confident and in control of what he was doing. And he was doing all that stuff with, you know, when they loop stuff and turn it into songs. And then he's freestyling and he did a bit of 50 Cent.
Sounds like the worst.
It was so weird. But at the same time, it was quite captivating because there's just this kind of weird looking ginger kid rapping and doing beats and beatboxing, and so it was just really odd. He did some cool effects where he ripped his guitar strings off as he was playing just to get a sound. And
did he?
There you go.
So that's not as sedate as everyone thinks.
No.
I did also see some bands that I wasn't aware of, whose previous output I wasn't aware of. I saw a Norwegian four-piece ska pop band called Razika. I think they're called Razika. And they were actually very charming and very sweet. Audience, not so much.
What were the audience doing?
Well, I think if a drunk frat boy shouts, "I want to fuck your drummer,"
it's surely
a four
compliment.
Kind of quite sweet Norwegian girls.
Oh my god!
It was, yeah.
Well, that's the kind of the spring break.
That is spring
crowd.
Break.
Let loose on the Norwegian ska scene.
That's exactly what it is. And who else did you see, Tim?
I went to see another folky, as well as Ed Sheeran, who is sort of folky, Ben Howard. And he apparently last night he played a kind of rapturous gig in a church or something where everyone was just kind of spellbound. But today I saw him in a bar in the afternoon, and it was just I don't know, everyone was talking and no one was really listening to him. I felt a bit sorry for him. I think tomorrow night he's playing another church gig and that's going to be a bit better. But he's here with a load of people from his label Communion who are just blowing up at the moment. One of them is Michael Kiwanuka, who he was at Ben Howard's gig actually, and I had a quick chat with him afterwards to ask him how he was getting on at his first ever South by Southwest.
Home again, home again. One day I know I feel home again. Wrong again, wrong again. One day I know I feel strong again.
Michael, this is your first time at South by Southwest. Has it been daunting?
It's been fun. I guess sometimes it's daunting because there's so much going on, but mainly really fun.
And so as a kind of someone who's just kind of starting out, do you feel like a bit of pressure, a bit like, you know, there's so many industry here and there's so many, you know, just, you know, it's a thing where some people will say it's like a make or break kind of thing. Do you feel that pressure, or is it not really that kind of thing? Is it more just like a few gigs for you?
Well, I guess I was kind of like naive coming in, but we had a gig yesterday or two yesterday, and there was, you know, a lot of press and interest there. But they went well, and it's quite nice to have people showing interest and coming down, you know. So it's been quite good. I guess my naivety's helped. I haven't known how important maybe South by Southwest it can be, you know. So
right, okay.
I've just enjoyed it so far. But
what have you been up to other than playing gigs?
Promo, and then. But then just going to check out, not that many gigs because we've been kind of going in and out and doing other things as well. But we saw a couple of gigs, like we've been to Stubbs. We also did a little bit of like sightseeing stuff, like I saw Steve Ray Vaughan's statue memorial.
Okay.
And went to some guitar shops, like some cool guitar shops.
Right.
And went to Boots and saw some like good, like authentic cowboy gear.
Do you feel like you're part of a bit of a British invasion coming over? I mean, there's a lot of kind of... retro solo Brits coming over.
Well, there's loads of singer-songwriters like Staves and the Communion group, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's quite funny because you just like go to a venue and you hear loads of English accents and you're in Austin. So it's quite weird. So yeah, I guess it does feel a bit like that.
Yeah. And do you feel like you're going to invade?
I hope so. I love America. I just like the aesthetic here and people's passion. It's good. And there's some cool bands, American bands I like seeing, and it's good to be kind of like near them and playing and hanging out there. I mean, we played yesterday before a band I'm really interested in called Alabama Shakes, I like.
Yeah.
And they're amazing. So it's good to just like hang out with them and play, you know. So I hope I do invade so I get to hang out with more bands and people like that.
Excellent. What have you got lined up for the rest of the festival?
We have a gig at Stubbs at 8 o'clock. But
is there anything you're hoping to see other than beyond that? Are there things in Austin you want to do? Try at the barbecue maybe or anything like that?
Yeah, barbecue. I want to see a bit of Temper Trap tonight. I want to see a guy called Gary Clark Jr. I just want to see Bruce Springsteen, just to see Bruce Springsteen.
Have you got a ticket for Bruce Springsteen? What are you going to do?
Well, I think I can try and get hooked up by some, all those scary, daunting industry people. they can sometimes get you in. It might not work.
There's quite a few of them around, so you might be all right.
Yeah, but we'll see. If it doesn't work, there's plenty of other stuff to do, and that might be, you know, it might be better to do something else. So there's loads of bands, and then we might go back to Boots. Yeah. See a shirt, you know.
Finally get those cowboy boots.
Yeah, finally get a shirt. I want a shirt. I thought they'd have like those lumberjack shirts, but obviously it's not really that thing, is it? It's
more you get urban outfits for that.
Yeah, yeah. Guess so, like a classic cowboy shirt or hat.
Excellent. All right, thank you very much for that.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that was Michael Kiwanuka's a very content guy. He seemed very happy at the moment. Maybe it's has something to do with everyone raving about his debut album. But I do think there's something in the atmosphere here. It's a bit like, it reminds me of Glastonbury at South by Southwest, that there's just this kind of really friendly vibe with everyone you see. Like, whenever, I don't know, everyone chats to you, all the people, all the staff are really friendly, I don't know.
Well, you've got the Southern hospitality thing, haven't
that
you?
Is true.
Which it seems like a cliche, but actually it's true. If everywhere you go, you're being told you'll have a nice day.
Yes.
It does rub off on you. You think,
are we that simple?
Oh yeah, I am.
How do you think you go about creating kind of a special festival vibe like that? Do you think there's a... Because you don't get it at Reading, for instance.
No, but I think one of the things that has struck me the most about this is how massive it is. Mm-hmm. And I didn't quite get how huge it was going to be.
Right, okay. So even, it is the entire, basically, centre of the city, isn't it? It's taken over.
And it's huge, and there are so many bands. There's so much that you can see. It's just massive. And I didn't expect it to be that big.
I mean, it wasn't like this when I first came, 2004. It was, you know, you could just walk around and just choose who you want to see, and there'd be quite big bands playing in venues where you could just walk up and go straight in. Which now, if there's a big band here, it's basically sponsored by someone. And
that's true. You know, that's very true. A lot of the things I've been to today have been sponsored by someone.
And Bruce Springsteen, obviously, you had to enter into some kind of lucky dip for tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. You were saying it's different since you first came, but is it less? It seems less industry than I expected it to be, because everyone said it was kind of an industry thing, and there's, you know, all the talks and stuff like that. Which I haven't seen any of the talks. I've been seeing bands, but it seems like I haven't noticed a particularly industry feel to it. Like, it seems like
I think that's true. Actually, I don't actually have any kind of stats on how many punters are flooding in, or if it has changed, but it definitely feels like that. It felt before it was a lot more small scale, but when I try and recall what it was like, it did seem to be actually mainly managers and A&R, and you know, for me it was quite exciting because I knew loads of people who were here. But it probably, if you came as a fan, you might be a bit put off, you might feel a bit cliquey, whereas now most gigs are actually packed full of fans and the queues kind of go around the block for a lot of things. So I think that's a way it's changed, definitely for the better. Now, one man who will know a lot about how it's changed is Crispin Parry. He first visited the festival in 2001, and since then he's been putting on various showcases each year, promoting dozens of British bands and putting on events such as the British Music Embassy. I caught up with him to talk about a decade of attending South by Southwest. Crispin, you've been here for, you've been putting on shows for 10 years, is that right, at South by Southwest?
Yeah.
So what was it like in 2002 when you first came over here?
Well, the shows, I actually first came here in 2001, and I remember coming here on the Wednesday night of the festival, and it actually being a bit of a ghost town. Nothing much was happening. You could go into any bar, there wouldn't really be that much music going on. The festival really started with a keynote by somebody on the Thursday, and the music and all the action would start there. And it was a very sort of, there was no fringe, it was almost like all official showcasing done by new and emerging bands, indie labels. It felt like quite a small place where people who were interested in new music and finding out first would be, and then they would go out to their other parts of America and perhaps Europe, London, and tell people about what was there. And that year, 2001, the bands that emerged out of South by Southwest were The Strokes, that played in a little bar with a glass front called the Iron Cactus, very easy to get into. Obviously something extraordinary happening with the band. You could go up to them and talk to them afterwards. They talked about their CDs, they packed their gear away, you carried their gear to their car with them, all of that kind of thing. White Stripes, the same sort of thing. Those bands were playing in these little shops along this street called Sixth Street.
So basically you felt like there was all these kind of treasures that no one had picked up on. You'd stumbled upon a kind of gold mine.
With rumours of Willie Nelson playing in the barbershop next door during the day. It was much more of a, I guess, an undiscovered treasure, and we were pioneers coming out, certainly from the UK, coming out to find out what that was about. I mean, it had been here for, they say last year was 25 years, so clearly it had been going on, but it had been going on as Austin celebrating its music scene to the rest of America. I think it was just starting to pick up as a sort of a phenomenon around about the time I got here.
So where did you go from there? What was your next move?
Well, Ray Davis was the keynote that year, and the keynote happens in the convention centre, or rather formal space, which is off behind us. And he said that, why aren't there more British bands here? Why isn't this a place where we can launch careers of British bands? Emerging music from the UK should be an important part of this event. So the BPI at that time brought me and my colleague Dan in to see if we could to help make that happen with this, because it was quite an unusual thing, showcasing of the kind that we now take for granted as an organisation, and other organisations do as part of their agenda, was not something that was an established form at that time. So we came up with an idea of presenting a magazine style newspaper or directory of what British stuff was there, putting all the delegates in one place, maybe hosting a show with several of the hot bands on it. That year was Elbow, extraordinary show, all the kind of big American media came down to see that. A band, Oxide and Neutrino, not so many people, but very excited to have them in Austin. It was just a good thing to see that band play here as an example of what was going on in the UK music scene.
And over the last decade, what are the kind of the shows that you've put on, or even not put on, that have stuck in your memory? What are kind of your abiding South by Southwest memories?
Well, there are so many. I mean, it really, for what we do as a development agency for new music, it informs what we do over the years. So there are two parts of that. There's what we do as a company and how it helps us define what new music's going to happen and the decisions we make later in our company, but also I'm a music fan. I love being here, so I can go out and see the Silver Lake Fife and Drum Band, a sort of blues, extraordinary blues band, play. We found that this very weird psychedelic orchestra called the Polyphonic Spree here, really, I mean, you just wouldn't have imagined it. And we just thought, wow, imagine if something like that could ever come to London. Of course, that took off. In fact, me and my colleague Dan ended up joining that band for a little while, and we toured the world with them, so that was good fun. So
you were a member of the Polyphonic Spree?
I was a member of the Polyphonic Spree, yeah.
You have to expand on that. That's an interesting term.
Well, we used to be in the magazine industry, and we very much championed that band and worked with them a lot. And one day they shouted out from the Brixton Academy stage, Crispin and Dan, come and talk to us afterwards. We went and talked, and they said, come to join us in Japan. We're going on tour. We're playing the Summer Sonic Festival. Come and sing with us there in the choir. And we ended up touring the UK, Reading and Leeds, touring all these strange and wonderful festivals around Europe. So an extraordinary experience. And that's a South by Southwest story. And tying in with what we do now, which is very niche events, the person who now works with us producing events, Katie, is now singing backing vocals for Little Roy at South by Southwest. So we encourage that in our organisation. It's part of how we work. If you're coming here, you have to be part of the fabric and genetics of what South by Southwest is.
And so 10 years on from when you first started, how do you see the festival's changed?
It's much, much bigger. It's a much, much bigger concern. You feel the power of the brands. You feel the power of the big artists being here. I think a good example is Metallica came here to launch their Metallica Rock Band. And that was, you could just feel that was a change of scene, that clearly here was somewhere that brands and big labels came to launch. They knew all the media would be here. They knew all of the industry would be here. This is a place to make a lot of noise now. It's not so much about the new band, the new emerging artist scene. I think it's still there, but you have to try a little harder.
And do you feel it's lost something that you can't go and see the Strokes through a kind of, can't wander in and just hang out with the Strokes? Is that upset you a bit that that's gone?
It doesn't, because there'll be other people like me who are coming here now finding their own way around it. It sort of reinvents itself every year, and it's the only festival that is properly led by new music. You know that the music is leading the dialogue here. It's not about rights or digital lists or brands marrying with that. That's all happening here, but actually new music is pushing this whole extraordinary 60,000 people forward.
So let's end with talking about what you're doing now. You've diversified a bit, haven't you? And you're putting on more specific kind of tailored events, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, our sort of agenda here now, we created a space for the UK music group in 2008 called the British Music Embassy. So that was putting all of the major players, the Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, the regions, putting them in one space so that they could perform, so that people weren't competing against themselves. You could get all the parties, all the British stuff, sort of shouting from the same space. Post that, we've become a lot more specialised and trying to identify really what is the essence of British music, what parts of that hidden gems can we shout about at this event now? So over the last couple of years, we've done a showcase for contemporary classical music with Gabriel Prokofiev. We've done a new English folk music showcase, which the Unthanks headlined. And this year, we're focusing on the influence of UK reggae, or the influence of reggae on UK music. So we've got, on the one hand, a roots reggae band like Rassites playing, but we've also got a very new grime artist from Birmingham called Lady Leisha playing, who is very, very hot here. It's been recommended by MTV, by Jay-Z, so that's going to be an extraordinary show anyway.
Excellent. Well, I think I'm going to have to go off and check out some of these bands. So thanks very much for talking to us.
No problem.
Okay, that was Crispin Parry there, proving that if you go to South by Southwest enough times, sooner or later you'll end up in a cult psychedelic choir. Now, we've seen a few bands today, but who are you looking forward to seeing?
I am looking forward to seeing Grimes. I've very much enjoyed the album she's just done for 4AD, and I haven't seen her yet. I've seen lots of videos, like sessions on YouTube and things like that, and it looks really good. I think it's just her, and she seems to do a lot for one person. You know, she's kind of singing, then she tucks the microphone behind her ear, and she's doing the synths, and she's looping stuff. Oh, baby, I can't say. '254, the sort of wall painty, Susie Sue, grungy,
okay,
rocky London sisters. They should be good. And I'm also really looking forward to seeing Machine Drum, who I don't know a lot about, but I think he's a producer from possibly Berlin, although I might just have made that up because most producers seem to be either from or based in Berlin at the moment.
Could turn up and it might be psychedelic trance or something.
Yeah, psytrance. It might be psytrance, but I don't think it is. The last thing that I heard that he did was a track with Azealia Banks that was very, very good, so I'm looking forward to seeing him. It might not even be a hymn. It might not even be one person. It might be machine and
it's
drum.
It's going to be a real surprise.
I'm looking forward to it, mostly for the element of surprise.
I'm quite looking forward to seeing Nico Jarre, actually, who's playing at the Central Presbyterian Church, just because he's been talking about his new project, which is making kind of... He describes it as church music with organs and stuff, so it'd be really interesting to see how it goes down in an actual church. Magnetic Fields are playing tomorrow, who I love, and I think will be... interested. And then on the indie side, I guess there's Howler and Alabama Shakes, just because they're both kind of new guitar bands who everyone is raving about, and everyone says they're really good live.
Alabama Shakes especially,
so that should be good. And I also had on my tip list Big Star, but I've actually just been to see them because we were planning to record this not at Gone Midnight on the
streets
earlier.
And you can tell that Tim has been to see this because he's got a new Big Star t-shirt on.
I'm wearing a Big Star t-shirt now, and I've been sat next to two 50-year-old men who wept all the way through it. There was one space left in the whole theatre, and I sat between these two guys, and nearly every song they played, they were recreating the famous album Third, and just nearly every song you could just hear the guy next to me like sobbing.
I am yet to have this experience.
It didn't happen
at ASAP Rocky. Maybe by the end of the weekend we'll be weeping at everything we see.
And that's all from this week's South by Southwest edition of Music Weekly. We'll be back next week with Alexis back in the presenter's chair for the regular edition, i.e. not one presented by two jet-lagged fools sitting on some steps. So look out for that, and until then, goodbye.
Guardian Podcasts, sponsored by audible.co.uk. For a free download, be sure to check out guardian.co.uk/free download. Where Guardian listeners can choose any audiobook for free. See the page for more details.